Hello and welcome again to the Wide World of Wargaming, Age of Sigmar podcast. I am your host, Alex Gonzalez, and with me are Jeremy and John, my fellow co-hosts. We do have a visitor today. We do have a special guest that is Michael Burke. He is a real great Flesh Eater Courts player from the Bay Area. Michael, how are you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good, Alex. Work, but good today.
Perfect. Well, we got a lot in store for you guys today. We are going to be talking a little bit about the European Team Championship. And then we're also going to talk about the best ways we can get kind of practice games in between events through the use of, leagues or local club kind of escalations or, kind of league style formats. We are going to start off, however, as we always do, with what is on our workbench. John, what is on your workbench this week?
Hey, how you doing, Alex? Haven't been around for a couple weeks. I've been to a wedding and a funeral since the last time you guys saw me. So I got a little bottle of the Ain't Your Papa's Grappa, old bottle number 12, some of my good stuff. I poured a double, and let's just say this is a toast to both of the events I attended this last week.
Understood.
Delicious as always. Beyond that, since the last time I was on, I did get in my first of what will prove to be 2 third place games for my for the local league that we're going to talk about a little bit later today. I got that in versus Chris Thomas and his Order Draconis army. He brought in 3 Dragon Lords, a couple units of Dragon Blades, 3-4 of those, a Phoenix. And of course, he was doing the battalion that lets him move his dragons up in the hero phase, flame everything, and then they again get to move in their own movement phase and then flame everything again. So that's a whole lot of mortal wounds that that army dishes out. What can I say? I brought 200 rats to the table, and honestly, it doesn't matter how many D6 mortal wounds you do, even if your dragons are doubling it up. He was able to nuke a couple units, and as soon as he charged into my lines, mission we were playing? The one where we blow up the objectives. I used my gnaw holes to jump to his back lines, blow up all 3 of his objectives in the backfield, blew up all my objectives in my field, and with all the objectives gone and all the points, we shook hands and called it a day. So I thought I had taken 3rd place in the league, but it turns out that another gentleman placed just as well as I do, so I have another 3rd place game played up this week against Brad and his undead horde. So I guess I have a lot of skeletons to face this week. So that is what the heck I have been up to. How about you, Jeremy? How's life been treating you, my friend?
Life's been treating me great. I'm up to, a couple GT wins in the last month. So
yeah,
I'm riding super high. I'm enjoying
it. Oh, yeah. Congratulations on that, man. I listened to the coverage between you and Alex last week. Man, that was good stuff. And again, congratulations. What did he call you, as a matter of fact? You are the menace? No, what did he call you?
The boogeyman. Le boogeyman.
The boogeyman. Le boogeyman. That was it. Yes.
Oh, I wish I could take credit for that. That's actually not me.
Fortunately, that's our belated Northwest player, Chris Michelson, who came up with that nickname. I don't know English. I was going to say I'm enjoying a nice, peated scotch from Scotland that my friends brought back for my birthday. And it is absolutely delicious. And I hope all of you are drinking. Except for you, Alex, you're a straight edge bastard. But other than that,
no, I'm drinking tonight. Hold on.
And I'm painting Sylvaneth right now for the other GT I'm going this weekend, because I want to do a hat trick. I want to see if I can win, another event without playing an army before showing up. See if that works out. Don't do that, kids. Don't do that. It's terrible form and. And you should not copy me in methods whatsoever. I'm sure that's a reasonable expectation. How about you, Michael? What's on your workbench? Please tell me it's painting proper cannons and organ guns.
Oh, okay. What's on my workbench? well, besides the cannons, I guess.
right now I'm actually working on a new list of some night haunts. So I got some what are they called here? The gas
chain gas, chain gas or chain rasp?
Yeah. No, chain gas.
Yeah,
chain gas. That throw their chain.
Okay, gas. Okay. You get the bad touch against night haunt once, and now you're switching sides.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to get some shooting in the army and not get judged on my cannons and my mortars.
For our listeners out there, Michael's a great guy, and he's got some awesome modeling with his Flesh Eater quartz. He cleverly devised a list trying to go up against Jeremy's Fire Slayers for T-Shift.
Oh, come on.
However, Jeremy brought his gits, as we all well know, and he had a cannon and an organ gun. The organ gun was the top half of a Hydra, of an Imperial Guard Hydra with an Imperial Guardsman on top.
What was it really for Fire Slayers, or you just wanted more shooting overall and Flesh Eater Corps? So you thought, oh, okay.
It was a list for all comers, but it was also to say, Jeremy, you're not winning another one with your Fire Slayers.
I appreciate that. It's good knowing your meta. Like it's a good trick. Unfortunately, knowing it too well could lead other people to not show up at that army.
Oh, boy.
I mean, to be fair, you did target him at the BAO, Jeremy, so a little tit for tat is expected.
You did. And you gave me an opportunity to play the best player in the room. I said, hell yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, man, that was a snipe. That is, for our listeners out there, yeah, round one, right before pairings came up, John, who was our glorious tournament organizer for the Bay Area Open Age of Sigmar, GT, he asked, are there any challenges? And before he could even finish that sentence, Jeremy, probably a little too excited, went, Michael Burke! And challenged him round one. He was like, you know what? And Jeremy, he said, I want to beat every Fire Slayer player at this tournament.
No,
Grizzlegore.
Yeah.
Grizzlegore.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I do remember saying, I want to kill every Terrorgeist.
That's right.
On the yes, board right
now. And I did not familiar. Kill every Terrorgeist because I did not kill your second one, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
That is true.
So aside from painting up some proper cannons and some chain ghast, are you going to add some more night haunts to your list or just a chain ghast?
I'm trying maybe some Legion of Grief with old Poppin' the Gash. So maybe you'll see that.
Yeah,
next turn
look forward to it. I have a couple Legion of Grief ideas. I've been planning on like making Alex try at some point after he actually plays the game better. So
hold on. Whoa. Yeah, we talked about Legion of Grief in length. We can talk about it again. It's just got two gimmicks, really.
Not on today.
Yeah, well, we don't have to talk about that today. That's for a different episode. However, I'm glad you're working on some new stuff, Michael. I myself have no AOS on my workbench. It's actually just some 40K, so we don't have to talk about that today. But I am drinking a little bit of the morning walk coffee from a local coffee shop here, mixed in with a little bit of Woodford Reserve. So that is on my workbench. That being said, we do want to dive straight into some major events that have gone on in competitive Age of Sigmar. Now, normally we try to go for events that are primarily based around, say, Best Coast pairings and a little bit more towards, say, the American scene for ITC, but it is important for us to look at things at a global scale. However, you know, we are, after all, the wide world of wargaming. And, you know, there was a rather large, if not the largest, international event outside of LVO that just happened this last weekend. And that was the ETC, the European Team Championship. You know, with that, a lot of our good friends and acquaintances were at the event, primarily in Team America. And, you know, with the Age of Sigmar portion of things, you know, the round one draw for the United States was rather steep. It went up against England round one. And when we take a look at the overall standings, England did come up at top in first place, but the United States did come in at second place. You know, when we look at the lists and the tournament format for ETC, was there anything that stood out to you, John, in terms of, you know, the player faction choices, depending on the country, or even how looking at, say, the lists for the United States and the UK?
Wait, ETC?
Yeah, the ETC.
What is that? ETC? Yep. I don't think I've ever heard of this. No, kidding, of course. Obviously, the ETC is huge. You know, as a longtime 40K player and been playing, of course, AOS since the game basically came out, I've been following the ETC for years. It's kind of one of those things that's always fascinated me. I have a few friends that have competed in the 40K side, so I've been sort of regaled with tales. In particular, a good friend and teammate of ours, Liz Foster, went to another one that was held in Croatia some years ago, and again for 40K. So now with the ETC happening with AOS, it's kind of very interesting. To me, this is kind of a format that I've always really wanted to participate in. Not just a team, not just a pairs or doubles, but the idea of tactical pairings. The idea that one of our teammates might build a list that really isn't designed to go out and smash face, but is designed to withstand getting its face smashed, is kind of a defensive list. And then that whole tactic of which type of army do we put against which type of army to maximize our team scores. So I could only look forward to one, being good enough to even be invited to participate, because these are certainly some top players that came from America. I mean, we have right off the bat, we have Joe Cryer, mm-hmm. good friend of ours. Joe Cryer brought his Beasts of Chaos. We, of course, have Alan Pajama Pants, a longtime friend, played against him many times in 40K, always a fierce competitor and a good guy to play against with his Stormcast. A couple guys I'm not familiar with, Roger Barker with his Daughters of Cain, but then some more people that we know very well in the form of Sam Gould with his Free Peoples. Of course, the legendary Mike Vaginos with his amazing Skaven list. And then a real good friend of ours, sort of friend of mine, Bill Souza with his dirty, dirty Slaanesh list. And man, I tell you what, going through the lists, there's a lot of stuff that I recognize, some stuff that I would love. I can't wait to talk to some of these guys next to see what and how these lists came together. I will say with Mike Vaginos's Skaven list, what he's running there is like two models away from lists that I have ran before. Really? And that is a nigh unstoppable. That is a dirty, dirty list. The only way it really loses is is if you take down those characters. So we'll see how what he did. But I see that he added Lock-On, the Soul Seeker, which I have not tried. You know, we were talking about that 2 weeks ago. And so I'd be real interested to, next time I see Mike, to hear how that worked out mm-hmm. for him with launching the monks across the board with Lock-On. So that's kind of some of the stuff I saw as far as that goes. Obviously, USA versus England in the first round, both teams threw it up on their website and kind of got back and forth with the dirt talking. So that was extra fun. And that was that. Jeremy, I'm sure you dove a little bit more into the blow-by-blow. What did you think about the ETC? Have you played in the ETC before, or have you been there before?
No, I was called on for like last minute, but I couldn't attend because there was just too last minute one time. But no, I've never participated. Always kind of like it's on the cusp of things I want to do, because I think representing America and anything is an awesome just concept, period. What I will say from an overall analysis between looking at the two, the first round pairing between England and America. So England went, I'll be honest, like they just played to their strength. Like the players lists are basically the list they're known for the most part. And there's no, you can tell, like, I don't think anything in the army that says, screams out like specifically targeting like a specific meta. Like I don't honestly think they're just individually, all these lists are competitive lists for like individual tournaments, versus the United States lists, which are like just, you know, some lists are just straight up designed for specific matchups, like Allen's List, which is like four ballistas and mm-hmm. like, you know, 12 Vanguard Raptors with Hurricane Crossbows. That list is designed for very specific matchups, right? It's probably like against like very big monster heavy, like Flesh Eater Court, or like to an extent, maybe Fire Slayers, in case you want to snipe out the characters and so forth. And like, you see that period over, like repeat over time. Like every one of the Team United States lists is very designed for like matchup, like, you know, advantage, versus like England is like just, you know, list playing to the strength of the player because they're used to playing that army, or they're just like good lists for like individual, like competitive scenarios. And, you know, I won't go into the blow by blow, but effectively that's effectively what ended up breaking out. USA had the better matchups, but England just played better. So in the end of the day, you had Bill winning, I think was the only win that round for that matchup, which was kind of a bummer at the same time. But it is like literally like what ended up happening is USA got second, England got first. So first round, you got the two top teams playing against each other. One of them had to like win big to make, you know, make sure like there was no other competition from the rest of, I guess, the other teams in a sense, right, from a points perspective. Because if they ended up in a draw, I think it would have given like the third place winner like a possibility of taking first effectively. But, you know, outside of Joe Cryer's list, I think pretty much all of them have been playing lists they're not used to playing. I don't think Mike Vaganos has been playing Skaventide that. Like, I mean, I knew he brought Khorne to LVO. I just don't think he's been playing necessarily Skaventide all, you know, for longer than, you know, since the ETC effectively teams pairing. So they brought lots of meta busting lists in terms of matchup, but and they did great. Outside of like that one round against England, they performed very well. It's just unfortunate that, you know, that even the better matchup, you know, I think it's also kind of blowing the rust off. Like, had they played England maybe in the last round, I think that the results would have been a bit different. I think maybe just the trip over, because there was a lot of people who kind of got in late because of delays. And, you know, I'm not going to say like fatigue plays into it, but I think the first, everybody who's played a tournament knows about the first round jitters, right? Where basically no matter how, you know, practice you are, how good you are, like the first round jitters are always like,
oh yeah,
like something you have to take into conscious like effect, because it could literally impact like how you play that game. So
it's kind of like you at Bay Area Open. You decided, hey, I'm going to have to fight against Terror Geist, so I'm going to just nip that in the butt and play it round one.
No, that was purely, let's not talk about my ideas of how to play games, because I make terrible mistakes about matchups if I have a choice about
it. Okay, says the guy who went back-to-back 2GT wins. We're not going to talk to you anymore. Anyways, moving on. Michael, what were your thoughts on some of these lists? Yes, not sir. Only, say, the United States or the UK team, but even just looking at the overall standings of player factions.
Well, I mean, I've seen a wide range of like diversity when it comes to the factions that are being played. I know very little of some of these factions. I hardly play against them, especially here in the Bay Area. But I'm really interested in some of these like Legions of Grief lists. Mostly the Death factions mm-hmm. are piquing my interest.
Yeah. Okay. Well, being another resident Death player, I certainly understand that. Was there one of those lists in particular, maybe a country, a player that you want to give a shout out to?
You know what? Why not? I'll go ahead and shout out this this Sweden player then. I'm gonna butcher his name, but Adam Zaf, or Saf, S.
Oh, that was perfect, just like he had a Swedish accent.
But yeah, his list, I'm actually interested in trying it out here with Lady Olinder, Ark in the Black, you know. A big fan of those Blade Revenants, so I mean, ever since I got hit with them with Alex, you know, really tempted to try them out, you know, seeing how
a future convert to the true ultimate death faction, the best death faction, Nighthaunt.
there we go. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you know, it's great to see these kind of variety of lists here. You know, looking at kind of all the lists overall, I think that it's really interesting that we are getting, you know, the usual suspects here. You know, there are Legions of Nagash. There are plenty of Gristlegore or Feast Day FEC. you know, we're looking at lots of Skaventide, lots of Slaanesh, some good order like Daughters and Stormcast sprinkled in throughout all of the countries. But I think that it's really, really funny that we are seeing as much Sylvaneth in these lists. A lot of countries have at least one or sometimes two Sylvaneth lists.
I don't think they were playing the new Sylvaneth rules. I think
there was one. That would make a very big difference then. Okay. And I got to give a shout out specifically to Greece too. There was one player on the Greece team. Specifically they were, I am going to also butcher this as well, so I'm going to apologize ahead of time. But Socrates and it's Papa Giorgio, I believe.
That's right.
And he's got an Order Draconis list. And so I love the fact that he's got that Order Draconis list going strong with all the Warhammer Fantasy bits. Oh, and on top of that, special mention here, we have Italy. We have an Aaron Canarella with his Beastclaw Raiders. Man, you're going to the ETC with Beastclaw Raiders, like, you know you're playing hard mode and you don't care.
That's funny. Hey, you know, Alex, it's funny looking at the list that Socrates is running here. That is actually really similar to the list that I played against in my my third place game for the league we played in recently. In fact, I think like two units difference. Yeah. I think a little bit less dragon blades in order to get the battalion in. That's about the difference. And I tell you what, that's a nasty list. I can imagine if you have a small elite army, that will just nuke you to pieces.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Can I make one more addition by the ATC for AOS? And this is purely because I love drama. And I want to point out that ETC AOS did not have any loaded dice or slow play problems. Just want to point it out. AOS, superior game. All right, right back at you.
Hey, no. You know, wait. Let me jump in here real quick. I want to actually take a moment. Now, joking aside, Alex, Jeremy, and I, of course, we have a previous episode we did on ethics. And I just want to mention, I haven't told this story before. Womp womp, John story time.
I'm ready.
But the actual reason that I play Age of Sigmar, now I bought a whole bunch of Skaven models during end times just because they were going cheap and people were panicking and I figured I could resell them. But actually, it was some cheating that happened during Adepticon that was kind of famously published that at that time, and then some cheating in our local scene as well. And it just kind of turned my taste on 40K for a little bit. And it was because of that cheating and dishonesty that I actually threw myself completely into Age of Sigmar. And it is also why I have certain, shall we say, extra rules in place when both my 40K and Age of Sigmar events are running. So I just want to jump in there. Like I take cheating seriously. It's one of these stupid things. If you're going to play a game, play the damn game. I mean, really? You have to cheat to make yourself seem good with little plastic men? How freaking sad is that? That is pathetic. Anyways, sorry. There's my little soliloquy on it. Alex, please.
No. I think that's very needed. John, you are a beacon of the community, and you always have always have the right things to say at the right moments. And that certainly is one of them there. So, yeah, you know, it's very true. It is going to be very important that players do keep things a little bit more on the up and up. And as much as we want to hope that everyone's playing free and clear, unfortunately, that's just not how things happen sometimes. And it's a lot less likely that we, you know, than we had hoped. And sometimes it gets really frustrating. So yeah, I agree. You know, it's great to see that there were no significant issues here with the Age of Sigmar portion of the ETC. How it does seem like the issues that did occur were swiftly dealt with as well, especially things related to, say, loaded dice or slow play. But, you know, that also, you know, playing on a little joke about not playing with the current General's Handbook, then they must not have been playing with the current General Handbook's guidelines for players. So,
oh,
yeah.
Yes.
So, That being said, congratulations on all the players. Congratulations on the UK team, or the England team specifically, for taking home the win. And United States, you guys did great. I got second place. Hope to see better performance next year, but I'm sure things went real well. Yeah.
It can only go up for next year, like second place.
It can
start.
Exactly. I mean, heck, what I have been told in real time, because a few of us do talk to some of the United States ETC players relatively regularly, is, you know, that first round, they kind of came in, didn't go the way they had hoped against England, but then the next round opponent, I believe it was Italy, and I think they might have just done a complete shutdown there and just completely just decimated the Italian team. So I think they might have taken it on the chin and then just, you know, got turned, you know, got revved up and was just ready to go. So
I do,
you know.
Yeah, that's how I heard it too. They basically stomped the rest of the field and the rest of the tournament. But after, you know, losing to the actual tournament winners round one, what are you going
to
do? Right?
I do want to send out some appreciation to Bill for basically putting this team together and like getting them to practice together. One of the biggest sticking point I have with you know, the ETC is the fact that America's only allowed one team, and the amount of effort it takes for the team captain to basically create a team that can actually practice for the event is insane in comparison to some of the other countries that are participating. So good job. I mean, you didn't even see Team Canada. Canada didn't even send a team. Like, I was actually kind of impressed, like surprised that Canada didn't even send an AOS team to ETC. So they have the same problem we do, which is like effectively big country makes it hard to travel and practice together. And props to Bill for that. I think we're done with ETC, guys. Let's look forward to next year when we fucking win. All right, so John,
that's right.
Tell me about that league of yours.
Oh, so starting back in June, a local gentleman by the name of Sunny Nguyen is fired up a league, and as I understand it, this is actually the second league. Though I did not participate in the first one. It's kind of how I heard about it while it was happening. And we had 30 local players sign up for this league. So every Wednesday night since the middle of June, we've been getting together and starting off. Michael, remind me, did we start off at 750 or was it 500?
The first league, I think you played a lot in the second league, which is the
current
one right now. The first one we were at 500, but this one now we were at 750 starting. Which I mean, it was pretty good. I mean, I like 750. There's a lot of armies that can't really perform at that point cost, but I mean, you make it work.
Oh yeah, for sure. And so, so we start off at 750, and then each week we've been going up by 250 points, and it's kind of been an open kind of a matchup. You show up on a Wednesday night and there's typically been like 12 or 13 tables. So, 22 to 26 players showing up on a Wednesday night for the league. Plus, half a dozen people playing 40K and then pickup games and all this stuff. So there's a whole lot of miniature gaming going on there on Wednesday night at Gamecastle Mountain View. And then each week it's gone up for 250 points. You kind of look on the forum each week and kind of see who else has a similar score to yourself. And it isn't that you necessarily have to play against people with the same rank as you, but it's kind of looked down upon to pick on baby seals. But people who are in the lower ranks can challenge a better ranked player. And again, if I remember correctly, they get extra points for winning up or for going up a weight class, as it were. Was that correct, Mike? Yeah. Right? We had extra points if you win a challenge match or something like that.
I think that was decided mid league, but yeah, I mean, baby seals, they got to watch
them. Yeah. Yeah, and I know what the old baby seal thing there, Michael Baby Seal Burke there. So I think some people were submarining themselves through, hoping to come up at the end and get something going. And then we went week by week all the way up to 1750. We took a week off between 1750 and 2000 for people to do makeups. And then we played our 2,000-point games, and looks like I have one more 2,000 point game to determine third place, but first place was won by Ruckman, a local player, and second place was won by Jim Yee, who some folks may recognize his name from.
Jorm is playing Age of Sigmar. Let me guess. It's Warhammer like Stormcast of like 50 ballistas.
No, wait, hold on, John. Before you answer that question, Michael, before you answer that question, I am genuinely curious. He might get this right. So, Jeremy, that's not correct, but two more tries. You got the right. Okay. Here's a big hint. You got the right Grand faction. Alliance.
So he's playing Order, and knowing in great Jim Yee fashion, it's usually
exactly.
So is it Sister Daughters of Cain with nothing but witches?
Damn, I got one. No, more. It's nope. It's a lot less conventional.
Oh
no!
They fly though.
I didn't even hear what he said. So you guys,
don't worry about it.
Good,
perfect, wonderful, great.
So, right? You know, just tell me what he's playing, because I feel like I'm not off the not far from the tree here.
So he has a whole bunch of phoenixes. And some other stuff.
He played me in AOS or not. Okay, cool. Got it.
Yeah. So anyway, here you'll appreciate this, because I've been bringing in my Skaven and playing my Pestilence. And so as we were going into the final rounds, folks were rooting for Jim over me. They're like, oh yeah, nice guy Jim, unlike that jerk John with all his Skaven. And I was like, oh my gosh, what have I done where people are actually rooting for
what
Jim
world is
over
this?
Me? So anyways, we're having a little fun at Jim's expense, but the truth be told, Jim is actually a really good friend, and unlike perhaps some of the super strong lists that he brings in 40K, Jim knows how to play to the crowd in Age of Sigmar. So even though he typically is bringing all the phoenixes, I haven't seen him bring that against newer players. He's been switching it up with softer lists against newer players and stuff. Yeah, Jim has always been famous at the local game store. He comes up, he says, John, what kind of game do you want to play? I brought two lists. I brought a fun list and a fun for me list. So not to get too distracted on that. So anyway, so the league went on. Jim took second. Ruckman took first. And by all accounts, it was a huge success. And for me, when you take into account that here in the Bay Area, though I've been running tournaments for several years, and Michael, one of the shall we say one of the people who's probably attended more of my tournaments than anyone else, will attest. We have not had the strongest attendance for Age of Sigmar competitive tournaments here in the Bay Area. Not when you compare that to getting like 30 players in an Escalation League, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised to see old fantasy players playing in the league recently, and I mean that's a joy to see people come back to the game, you know, after feeling like they got scorned.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, a lot of old players, a lot of new players, all different levels, folks getting their wives involved. There's at least three players' wives that also join the league and have been building up and playing every week. Almost got my wife to also fire up her corn again, but her work schedule just doesn't quite allow it. So like I said, it's kind of amazing to see so many players coming out for a weeknight Escalation League when we really don't get the numbers when it comes to tournaments. And I have to compare and contrast to what you guys have going on up in the Northwest, right? You regularly have huge tournaments. I mean, if you had 30 people at an Age of Sigmar tournament, that would be a good day, but not an outrageous day, right?
You know, that's not necessarily completely accurate. I mean, for a good, well thought out, well promoted one day tournament, depending on the area, you can definitely get some good a good amount of players to it. Without a lot of know how and a lot of promotion, you're going to get
almost
no one.
I have a different take than Alex, and that's mostly like you guys are getting like the old Warhammer Fantasy crowd in. I think there is still like a bit of like. Like as long as you make it like a more casual event, like a league night, like they're creeping back in, like even in like locally at like OC and Geeks that Jeremy like helped run over there for the event. Like there's Warhammer Fantasy players like slowly creeping back into AOS, and I think it's a accumulation of two things, mostly that the new models are badass, that Games Workshop is producing. So it's like, it's just reeling them back into the game because, you know, Ninth Age and Kings of War isn't really like competing on that end in the first place. And then secondly, it's mostly because like they see the success of General's Handbook and they're like thinking like it's an actually like competitive game in their mind. Cause like, don't let it fool you. Warhammer Fantasy players were incredibly competitive players, you know, before, like, you know, they used to call Age of Sigmar like the dumbed down kid version of the game, but really, like, yeah, I think it's just they're progressively getting there, but they don't want to like wet their toes yet into competitive play for Age of Sigmar. They're learning to ride a bicycle again, effectively.
Wow, you described it so well. What do you think, Michael? Is that a fair description of a good amount of the players in our league?
I mean, personally, I think a few of them are wanting to do competitive, but they just don't feel ready for it yet.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Recently, I think Sunny wants to do competitive, but he just doesn't know how to find them, so we got to, you know, we got to get those people in there, get their feet wet per se, and get a fresh taste of blood in their mouth, I guess, Jeremy.
I'm super happy to see them like to get back into the fold of things and figuring out that this game is plenty fun and plenty interactive, and you don't have to sacrifice. You don't have to feel like the game is dumbed down at all for you. It's just a different mindset altogether. I'm looking forward to it, but what I'm kind of curious, like, what were they playing, like more older Warhammer Fantasy type armies, or were they actually like, did they start like some of the newer stuff? Like, did they invest in like, you know, Flesh Eater Court or like Fire Slayers or like some of the newer model line that, you know, are.
Right. That's a great question. You know, it's funny. I think as Michael was kind of indicating, is we really, though we have a few older fantasy players, the league, I would say at least a third to half of the league are brand new players, people that have talked to me about playing just a random assortment of miniature games. Some folks that are coming over from what is it? Is it Ninth Age, I think, or no, Kings of War. There's a similar game. So they're coming over from Kings of War. And then certainly about a quarter of the group are ex-Warmahordes player. In fact, specifically when I was running Age of Sigmar tournaments about 2 years ago at Game Castle Santa Clara, whenever I was running a tournament, there'd be a fairly good group of Warmahordes players that would come in and set up like, you know, 3 to 6 tables. And I'm not sure if they're having tournaments or just a game day, but pretty much all of those players are also participants in our league. So in some ways, I think it's kind of this interesting convergence of, you know, second edition came out. So the game is looking good. As you mentioned, the models are looking amazing. And we're getting some older fantasy players that have been doing other games, as much as not so much bitter about Age of Sigmar, but just doing other stuff, that they're piquing their interest and kind of poking their toes in. The War Machine, Warmahordes players poking their toes in. And then a whole lot of just like straight up brand new players. I mean, as far as like, quote, tournament players, Michael, what do you think? Is it like you, me, and Jim Yee are kind of like the only, quote, tournament people that have been playing?
Yeah, I would agree to that. There's also one of my other teammates that are that play with us as well, David Gonzalez. He shows up every once in a while, but he is also another very good tournament player, very friendly. He helps out all the new players there.
Yeah, he's friendly enough that you he'll catch you off guard with how good he actually is.
Wait, is our resident and favorite Ideneth Deepken player not coming to league?
Is that Vlad? Wait, what? Who?
Oh, who's that?
No, Vlad. Vlad's like not even playing right now, right?
No, Vlad hasn't been coming to the league. Josh Harvey has been playing in the league either, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, so Josh and I have gotten in some practice games lately, leading up to the GT. Didn't he go up to the GT the other weekend, right? Michael D.
Yep.
Yeah, so we got some practice games in, but no, he hasn't been playing in league. Actually, the gentleman who won the league, Ruckman, actually is playing Idaneth, and he is actually an exceptional player. I cannot wait to see if he decides to start playing a little more competitive Age of Sigmar, because I think he is going to cut a swath of destruction like we have not seen lately.
Okay,
so,
okay.
So watch out, as it were.
Yeah, he's the I don't know what nationality he is, but he's the opposite version of Jeremy. So I would probably say.
Well, that
he's
there you go.
Yeah, you might have to explain that one to me as well.
I meant it as like how Jeremy is the French overlord. He's been winning a bunch of tournaments and stuff like that. Ruckman will probably be a mini Jeremy.
I'm always looking
soon,
for more competition
with the lists that he makes and how he plays.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't really have any competition up there, hopefully we can get some folks in the Bay Area to come up and give you a little more competition, Jeremy. I know I for one, look forward to our next game, because unlike certain other hosts of this podcast, I think it doesn't matter how many times you win against my army, I still know that I can beat you.
Well, this has been a great episode of the Wide World of Wargaming. Be sure.
And the worst part of this
sometimes
is that statement
punch
is like,
break
Alex,
every
like
once
I try
while,
to like
right,
defuse the bomb every time we end up playing. I'm just like, come on, Alex, like it's not that bad. Like you just need to do these things, and you're like, you're still in the game. And it's just like, Alex, just like complete salt mode. Like, to be honest, last game against the Gits was like much better. And I also feel bad because Michael, you probably didn't listen to the episode, but the last two games we played, like literally as we're telling up scores, I keep telling them wrong and then realizing that like Alex is going to win the game. And I'm just like, great, Alex, you won the game. And then like, oh, wait, no, never mind. Like, you didn't win. Sorry.
Well, hold on. You swang too. And
that is brutal.
You swung pretty hard, because first you were like, oh, Alex, you won. And I'm like, no, I didn't. And then I was like, you're winning by one. And then you're like, wait, no, I'm winning by a lot. I have 22 points. And I'm like, where the hell did you get 22 points? And then like, you're like, oh, wait, no, I do have 19.
Shit, dude. That was my fault.
Oof.
So wait a second. So now the quality control professional in me is rising to the surface, and I've just heard that the last several games against Alex, you've gotten your score wrong. And Alex, I happen to know to be a very experienced and math conscious individual. So now I'm wondering if Jeremy's path of destruction to championship might be laid upon some creative scorekeeping along the way. I'm just telling you, folks, if you play against Le Boogeyman in the future, make sure you keep score for yourself. That's all I got to put out.
Because like, for some reason, Le Boogeyman sounds like way more accurate than like just having my not even like my real nationality like slapped on.
I think having both, you know, it's cool to have two different nicknames. I think that it's cool to turn one on and turn one off. I think that it's even more important to keep that one at least in the back pocket, especially in honor of the late Chris It's accurate, especially for certain areas, because I think that he named you that because every time you go up to Washington, everyone's like, Jeremy's coming up.
I hope to God I make them buckle up. You know, realize that when I play in London GT, and I want to play every one of those Team England players. I know it's impossible statistically, but if it does happen, I want to play each one of them and then beat them, and then rub in their nose that not only did they lose to an American, but they also lost to a French player. It's going to be amazing. Can't wait till they're look in their face is disappointment, and I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait for the Lund GT, guys. I am super excited for it.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time, I'm sure. You know, none of us but you are gonna be there. When is the date of the London GT?
Passive aggressively, like, okay, Jeremy, great. Like, you know, live your dream, buddy. Sorry, what was that, Alex?
Live your best life.
September.
When is London GT again?
September 14th and 15th.
Nice. Maybe we'll get you a live cast from England really or something cool like that for us.
No, it's you're not. Like, man, it's whatever, like for me, like, I won't rub it. Like, it's more important because it's also the last GT that Jeff Robinson was supposed to go to. Bought tickets for, and some of the guys from the United States will be going there to like poof in like remembrance, and also because like you know Jeff was supposed to go. So Shane, I think Shane Ruckey is going to be taking Jeff's Custodes Army to the event as like last like pilgrimage for Jeff. So that's kind of it's cool, but also sad at the same time.
Ooh, that'd be nice. That would be tight to see Shane do very well, and he's quite the good player. It's funny how much he played against pulls. Jeff, so he might be able to channel him for the whole event. Oh, that would be amazing.
Oh yeah, I definitely hope so. I definitely hope so.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, on the other hand, Alex, you know, you and I have a little something coming up in a meager, 2.5 weeks. We're going to be hanging out at the esteemed Nova Open. There will be much drinking. There might be some dice involved too.
Please, John, if you play Alex,
all goes.
Make sure you tell him how to beat your list and then watch him second guess you the entire rest of the game. Please do that.
No, you misunderstand, Jeremy. I'm used to people coming up to the table and going, how the hell do I beat your list? And then I tell them exactly how to do it. And they never fucking listen to me. They always do something else. I'm like, well, with your army, you should do this, this, this. That's not what they end up doing. I'm like, great. As long as you didn't do that, 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 I win. Oh, wait, shit, Mike, you didn't hear that, Mike. You didn't hear it. Well, actually, to be fair, you kicked my ass last time we played, too. So what am I saying? Damn you and your strategy collapsing my flank like that.
Oh boy. Right. Yeah, we have that. We do have Nova Open coming right around the corner. And, you know, then the Nova RTT and the doubles for some. John, you're not doing the doubles. Is that right?
No, sir. I am just playing in the
championships. Likewise. It's a hard sell for me to go to three different events.
Have you seen yourself, Alex?
You're the
most like fit person out of the entire fucking like podcast crew. You're gonna be fine. You should do all three.
Okay. You say that, and then you remember that I sound like Reese.
Your voice has nothing to do with your brain, buddy.
You know, when you're stuck in your mind, and you're not able to verbalize the things that you're thinking. It causes a lot of mental anguish.
So I feel like we need to train Alex to like put like a wet, like hot towel, like around his neck, like after every night, get him like proper, like, what's a Italian stallion, like looking like he's just, you know, climbed the stairs up to Philadelphia. Like
Italian stallion. Oh my God.
No, you know, it's funny you say we joke about this, but the actual fact is, I was having fatigue issues at tournaments a couple years ago. And I actually made a conscientious effort to lose a little bit of weight, start exercising, walking around a little bit more. And actually, I just kind of upped my fitness level just a little bit. Not crazy, guys. Don't think John's out there, you know, running or anything stupid like that. But just walking around a little bit more, up my fitness level, you know, take the stairs instead of the elevator kind of stuff. And I find myself with more energy to make it through the day Michael. So there is something to that.
Yeah, I was like, "Ooh, where'd Scotch, Brian come from?" A little too hard. I was gonna say, Michael, do you do any do you have any kind of like, you know, like 2-day event? Like, you know, for example, like I'll get drunk, but I won't eat like super junk food on the first night of the event, just so I don't feel like shit on the next day. You have any kind of like hot tips, like life hacks you can give the crowd over there for competitive games?
Well, don't eat like shit on the night before, you know. And then I always carry some Advil for the back, you know, because it kills me every day. It kills me when we're doing those 2-day tournaments. But no, just Advil. Don't eat like shit the night before. And then I don't know about you guys. I don't really drink too much I mean, I'll have like one or two like shots or some beer, but I don't go hardcore like you guys do. I see you a lot over at the or at events and stuff.
No,
like
I hope no don't one tell anybody. They I have a tendency to play better when I'm drunk. So at least the illusion of that. So I will drink like every round. And sometimes I wonder if it just happens to be pure luck that I win games. I'm just pointing that out. So
yeah, I will honestly say I do not play better while I'm drinking, but yeah. I can honestly I'm usually at tournaments.
If nobody shows
fun.
Up. I mean, hopefully nobody so, shows up to a tournament just that. not planning on having fun. But it is like a dynamic of the game to like, especially in like multi event day games that you should be prepared for like fatigue. It's part of the dynamic, and you should not feel like you got your victory robbed because you forgot things because you were tired. Like, it's literally part of the the game. It's part of the dynamic. Like, everybody's having that. Everybody's having fatigue, and it's your it was your decision to stay up until 5 a.m. at LVO the night before the last round, and drink yourself silly. Like, that is a conscious decision that you made. So don't hold it against your opponent if you just played better than you because you were poor, sloppy, showing up to the table. But
that is all fair.
I played my first round on day two at LVO against Bill Souza, and I was not only just hungover as shit, but only had like 6 hours. I had 6 hours of sleep, like in combined in 2 days. And I just decided in the beginning of the game, you know what, Bill, I'm too tired and drunk to have like a strategic game about this. I'm just gonna commit to the field and see if the dice bless me, and they did not.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I could almost say that the USA team did so well because of straight edge guys like Joe on the team, but I happen to know Alan can make up for any two straight edge on the team. So I know that's that theory is out the door.
Michael, I know we're towards the end of the episode here, but I want to ask I just want you to know, next time we end up playing in an event together, I'm not going to be taking Fire Slayers. I just want you to know that. So for next time, don't bring cannons.
You disappoint me. You disappoint me. Well, I do want you to know every event that every big GT that's happening.
Well, next time I'm probably playing Flesh Eater Court because my next project for the second half of the year is playing. Not that everybody, all the kids are off the Flesh Eater Court bandwagon. I have a Flesh Eater Court army that I want to build and assemble and play, and I think it's really good. Not as good as Night Haunt, but I think it's really good. So I want to bring that.
Cool.
Yeah, I look forward to it, Mike.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'll be happy to see that and then kill it off the board, huh? Yeah.
I can't wait for the day that you're playing Night Haunt and Alex has dwarves and he's complaining about how he can never beat them with the dwarves.
Yeah. No,
it's fine. Oh, sorry, Alex.
This is
gang up on me there.
It's cool. Yeah, this is normal. This is
the only way we get Alex to be really like inward focused on like how to play better is like only if we shame him into it.
Oh, great. Good to know. I feel I've been doing pretty
Alex,
good
you're
lately.
Loved in this community. We just want you to play Nighthawk better because Nighthawk is the best faction.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is. Now, there aren't going to be that many out before Nova. There aren't going to be that many real big events in the Pacific Northwest for me to either conquer or flounder. Who knows? But there might be some events in the Bay Area or in the Californian region. Michael, John, do you guys have any events coming up for yourselves outside of Nova that you're looking forward to practicing for or preparing?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like I actually, as I've mentioned a few times on the show, have an event next Sunday on August 18th, which is the day before my birthday. So run a little birthday tournament. And as it sits, nobody wants to come play against me on my birthday. So it's just going to be me sitting sadly in a corner. I'm hoping that maybe if I offer Michael $20, he might come play with me. So I'm just not alone as it goes.
You know, funny enough, I was actually planning on signing up for something.
Oh, good. Thank you.
So you don't have to pay me anything. No. If anything, no. I'll bring some nice stuff against you to give you.
Oh, I love it. Okay, that. You're the best. You're the best. but more realistically, we are trying to entice some of the folks from the league. Sunday is the actual normal sort of second day for league play. And so I've kind of opened some open format options to folks in the league. A few people said they might not be up for 3 2,000-point rounds. So I threw up the idea of maybe playing a 2,000-point round followed by a 1,250, followed by a 750. So kind of do a de-escalation style tournament. And we'll see if folks get interested in that. So that's what I'm looking at. Other than that, it is Nova time, baby. Nova. That is what is on my mind.
Come on, John.
And how do I transport so many models?
Come on.
Or not before Nova.
Like, I thought the point was events coming up by the forbidden end of the year, right?
Yeah, well, and to be fair, and this is a kind of a sad time, sad comment. Unfortunately, Donna and I actually are more able to travel now than we have been in the last few years. So I am, though I was not planning to go to the SoCal Open, I am now planning to go to the SoCal Open. So we will definitely be going.
All right.
Oh, that's right. One way or another, whether it's at the bar or the game table.
I like that a lot.
Michael, are you going to go to the SoCal Open?
Okay.
Oh, well,
hell yeah, I'll meet you there. Hopefully, you don't get kicked off.
I can't promise these talks that. Today.
You know, at some point, Alex will, you know, wake up the inner beast and then, you know, be good again.
God damn. Okay. Whoa. Okay. I get it.
Yes.
Favor, word. Okay.
Michael, can you fucking bring Vlad to the goddamn event? God.
I will try, sir. I can't make any promises.
Yeah, I must say I've met the young lady that Vlad has been spending his time with, and given a choice between a beautiful young lady from the home country and little plastic men, I might not be playing.
I don't know it's very much. Okay, but,
just, you know, putting that out there
for young lovely ladies, I guess. No, get him out to the event, and sure. Yeah, you know what. I'm blessed with
says the married man.
Who helps me paint models and has no idea what the hell I'm doing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, you know, it works out for you. Doesn't always work out for everyone, but we're all happy for you there. And we're happy for Vlad too. are there any final comments, any final thoughts regarding upcoming goings ons, everyone? John, Michael, Jeremy?
Nope. Hey, Mike, thanks for coming on the show tonight. Really appreciate having you here,
definitely,
man.
It's
nice to talk to you.
No problem. Thank you for putting up with my BS.
Yeah, glad to be on.
And,
thank you guys.
I will say one thing, Alex. I'm going to turn you into a lean, green, killing ghosty machine before if we're ready for Nova time.
Oh, you know it. So, yeah, I'm going to be real excited. It'll be real fun. And we're going to get plenty of practice games in ahead of time. In the meantime, if all of our listeners are interested in looking at more content, do check out our previous episodes on the Wide World of Wargaming Facebook page and Podbean account. And be sure to like us on Facebook and rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. For this week's episode, this is Alex, Jeremy, and John signing off with our special guest, Michael. Have a great night.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.